To all who shall see these presents, greetings. I'm Adam Best. This is Veterans in the Wild.
Reveille, reveille, reveille. Welcome to another episode of Veterans in the Wild, ladies and gentlemen. Today we have a special guest, Kevin Pinkney. He is joining us as a Navy veteran of 10 years, and we're glad to have him here. So welcome, Kevin.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate it. Special guest. I guess you use that term loosely. That's
very,
all right.
Very loosely, of course. Every guest no worries. Is a special guest the day they join us, of course. So could you give us a little bit of your background?
Sure, yeah. Yeah, my dad was in the Air Force, and so I was raised all over the place, but we wound up in New Mexico, and funny enough, I joined the Navy from there, so where there was no water at all, joined the Navy, but I've always liked being on the water whenever I did get a chance. So I joined the Navy in 2004 and got out about 2013, so almost 10 years, and it was a good time, bad times, you know, it's all mixed in there. It's a mixed bag. If you're a veteran, you know this.
The best of times and the worst of times, right?
Absolutely. I was a sonar technician. They call it advanced electronics field. So I did a little more extra schooling than your average sonar tech. And so I could do more repairs and more in-depth technician stuff. Yeah. And then so I did almost 2 years of school in San Diego. That was awesome. San Diego, the weather's great and the people are assholes. That's what I tell people.
And can you tell everyone a little bit more about what a sonar tech does on a ship?
Yeah, well, I was on a surface. It's called STG, sonar technician, and G, for some reason, means you're on a surface ship. Yeah. So you're not actually on a submarine. Okay. So I spent 5 years on the USS Hawes, is a frigate. It's decommissioned now. But basically, we go looking for submarines. So we're anti-submarine warfare, is what they call it. So we had you have microphones that you actually drag in the water behind the ship, and you can find submarines very easily that way, because they're always making noises. So you track those noises. With some, they call them hydrophones, they're underwater microphones. So I worked on that and some torpedo countermeasures that we have. And then we have, the active sonar, which is what you hear in the movies with the pings, you know, and bounces sound off of things to find underwater objects. So we did some of that. And my favorite was the sonobuoys that they actually drop out of helicopters that are microphones. And then you can triangulate using those to triangulate position of a submarine. Oh, and so awesome. I worked on all that stuff. Yeah, it had some fun times for sure.
And can you tell me maybe the biggest challenge a Navy ship has trying to find a submarine?
Well, you can't see it. That's the hardest part. So they hide under the water, usually.
Yes. Given the one natural ability of the submarine.
Yeah.
Drawbacks a surface ship has versus a sub.
Oh, yeah. Well, obviously, you know, surface ship is easily seen. That's the biggest thing. But as far as drawbacks, you can't get down where the submarines are to hear them as easily. But that's why we have microphones that you could drag down to the layers where they are. There's different layers of temperature and pressure that determine how sound propagates. It gets very nerdy, but it's cool stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, with the ship, you can't actually go there like you can in a submarine. And you can't hide as well because you can't go below the surface on a surface ship, so you don't have the choice of those different layers to hide in.
Yeah.
Right. Whereas submarines do. It's interesting stuff.
Yeah. And then, so you said 5 years on a ship?
Yeah, it was 5 years on that ship, the Hawes, and then I spent the last 3 years of my tour on shore duty. Mm-hmm. It's where they try to make you forget how horrible the ship life was so that you re-enlist, but I never forgot how bad that was, so I didn't re-enlist. It was mainly the schedule, you know, being in control of your life. I didn't like the, you know, you'd walk into the ship Monday morning, expecting to go home that afternoon. And they'd say, you know, you got 2 hours, we're getting underway, go get your shit and we'll go for 3 months or whatever it is. Yeah. So it was kind of random like that. And being a frigate, we were the cheapest ones to get underway. So if any other ship broke or had problems, the reason they couldn't get underway, they'd send you in their place. And so we were like the fill in, we were always ready to go. Funny enough, the motto of my ship was always ready.
I mean, it could have been 5 years awful on the ship, right?
There were good points. You know, port visits are always fun. I did one deployment to the Middle East where we went to like Bahrain and Iraq and Iran. We were just off the coast of there, near their oil platforms. Not so good times there. Some of the port visits were cool though. We went to Italy and Spain and a few other places. Oh, yeah. But then my second one, we did counter narco-terrorism ops. I think that's what they call it. But we were in the Caribbean tracking down drug boats. And that was a lot of fun. Tracking the drug boats was kind of cool. But then also the port visits are great. You know, it's like a Beatles song. We went to, you know, Aruba and Jamaica, Barbados, the Curacao, a couple other island places. It was a lot of fun.
I think we're talking about the Beach Boys, aren't we?
Yeah. What did I say?
The Beatles.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I really messed that one up. Beach Boys. That's what I meant.
Yep. Here we go.
All right. Man, that's two edits you got to do already. No, I'm kidding.
Some of the stories I've heard, I mean, I never left the ship when we pulled into port because I was just making sure everything was ready to go. But
really?
I've heard that sailors have some fun on Liberty.
No, that's not true.
Oh, okay. You don't have any stories either of Liberty fun?
That I can share? Not really.
Yeah, I figured.
No, yeah. I'm kidding. Yeah, there's always good times. We stopped in Boston for, it was a Harbor Fest. We went to Boston. Yeah. That was cool. I don't know if you've ever been to a Harbor Fest type thing, but you dress in your dress whites and you're like a celebrity out in town. Everybody loves you. Mm-hmm. But we stopped at this bar because this radio station was doing like a giveaway of tickets for a Blue Man Group show.
Yeah.
And so they grabbed us because they saw us walking by in uniform. And we said, no, no, thanks. And they said, no, we'll buy you beers. I'm like, okay. So we stopped there.
So they spoke sailor, didn't they?
Yeah. So they got us some free beer. And then magically we won the Blue Man Group tickets. So they, and I was like, well, that's great, but you know, we're on Liberty. We don't have transportation. They said, no, just keep drinking your beer. We have a bus coming to get you right here. So we literally walked like 10 steps to this bus that pulled up and they took us to the Blue Man Group show. It was awesome. We made friends there at the Blue Man Group. You know, they do a messy show and, but we were far enough back. I wasn't too worried cause I was in my dress whites, but, one of the blue guys started crawling all over the audience, getting his blue makeup everywhere. Dang. And he's coming straight for me. Mm-hmm. And I'm just sitting there going, I probably should have just done it and encouraged it. But, you know, all you can think is I got to keep these clean because they're all white. But yeah, if you ever get to see the Blue Man Group, they're amazing.
I think I had a similar experience in New York City. They call it Fleet Week. Where it's welcome to Fleet. Our CEO was from Long Island, so when we had the chance to go back, especially after 9/11, he was anxious to take a ship back.
Yeah,
and yeah, particularly after 9/11, we went there in the end of 2008, or maybe just beforehand. Yeah, especially to go back to New York City and to wear the, especially to wear the whites. Everyone in the Navy, of course, knows the whites, and every branch has their uniform that just like, okay, we want to go out tonight.
Yep.
So, yeah, I understand. If you have the chance, Harbor Fest, Fleet Week, whatever it's called.
Yeah. It even made me look okay. I mean, the whites were always my least favorite because I'm so light colored. I mean, I look very pink in this, but I'm pretty white. So the whites always looked kind of funny on me. But it's still, walking around Boston during the Harbor Fest, which is just like Fleet Week. I was a celebrity. It was great. It was really kind of funny because then another day I went out without my whites on, just wearing civilian clothes, and I felt invisible. Like nobody's waving at me. Nobody's smiling at me. It was really strange because you kind of get used to it after a day or two of that.
And I do have to go back. I have to commend you there. You said I looked okay. I'm glad. Like, I have to commend you. You knew where you were. You didn't overhype anything. You're like, I looked okay. You know, the whites did something, but they didn't, you know.
It's funny you say that because I think it was that same port that we were at a bar, drinking, talking to a bunch of people. And I was in a group of like four guys, and there was one guy who objectively looks better than the other three. And he's chatting up all these ladies and then kind of introduces them to us. And this other guy sitting at the bar says, I see what you're doing. Like, what are you talking about? He's like, you're letting him chum the waters. And so we started calling that guy Chum. Anyway, it was pretty good. We didn't plan it that way, but it was kind of funny once you pointed it out. It's like, damn, I guess that is how we work.
Whatever works. Whatever works, right?
Yeah, but it was fun. Being single in the Navy was great. I wasn't single the whole time, and that's part of the reason I got out. So once you get married and start thinking of a family, it's harder to always be coming and going, you know, like I said, getting underway all the time. So that definitely, it's fun when you're single and don't have a lot of responsibilities, but then life changes as you get older.
So what's the best thing you remember about the Navy? The, you know, you saw ships, you saw ports, you saw, people from all over the world, all over the country.
Yeah. You get some experience like that. To me, like I said, I'd grown up living in England and Germany and stuff. So to me, that wasn't a huge shock to me being in different cultures because I'd already kind of experienced it as a kid growing up. So I think a lot of people my age were really just overwhelmed by, you know, being on a different part of the world. For me, that wasn't as big a deal, but it's always nice. I like seeing the history of different places, you know, stopping in Italy and seeing the Colosseum and stuff like that. But yeah, it's hard to pick just a favorite thing, you know, and even some of the training was really fun. A lot of it's terrible, but, you know, some of the training, like I did the ship's reaction force stuff, they actually have real weapons that they put these little plastic bullets in that have paint inside. So it's kind of like paintballs, but they're a lot harder than your average paintball.
Yep.
And so we got to do training where you're actually breaching places, you know, doing tactics, clearing a room and stuff. And we actually got to shoot each other with these paint bullets things. And that was a lot of fun. So I really like a lot of stuff like that. And then, you know, just being in the military, there's stuff you do that sometimes you're just wondering, why are we doing this? I'm the dumbest I ever felt, I think, in the Navy was sweeping water uphill on top of a ship. So the top of the ship's flat, but the ship was kind of old. So there's sagging in between the support. So there's, you could kind of see it when it rains, it would puddle up in certain spots.
Mm-hmm.
And so the drains were on the edge of the ship, but they're actually a little higher than the floor. So the floor kind of dips between the supports.
Yeah.
And so to prevent the ship from rusting and stuff, they would, which is freshwater rain, but anyway, they'd make us go out there and sweep the water uphill towards the drain to get it off the top of the ship. And just always kind of felt a little dumb doing this. Like I'm sweeping water uphill with a broom, with a push broom.
Was there any lesson there?
If you have enough manpower, you can do really stupid stuff.
Okay.
And actually accomplish it.
Was there any beneficial lesson there?
On sweeping water? Not really. But it is amazing what you can get done with enough people working under the same rules and the same, you know, like bringing stores on board. I don't know if you ever helped with that stuff.
Yes.
I think that's an all hands kind of thing. So, you know, loading up the ship. It's amazing when you see how many pallets of stuff can be get passed from one person to the next and loaded into a ship when everybody's, when you get into that groove and, you know, you're catching, you know, bags of whatever and throwing it to the next guy. Yep. That's a lot of fun.
Yep.
I would say I learned not to be afraid to try new things because when you're in the military, you don't really have that excuse of, well, I've never done that before. They're going to say, no, go do that. Like, you know, we've given you all the instruction. You should know kind of the general idea of how to do this. Go do it.
Yep.
And I've met some people in my life who they're just scared to try new things. And that's always the excuse is, well, I've never done that before. And to me, it's just mind boggling. Like unless you're risking life and limb, never doing it before is not really a good excuse. You know, if you have a baseline of knowledge or understanding or skills, you kind of, it gave me kind of some confidence, I think, to do things or to try new things.
Yes.
And I think that's really important.
So I didn't ask Kevin to do it, but I think what he did was just segue us very naturally into our next segment, which,
oh,
Kevin, what are some things you learned from the military? And obviously then where have you gone in your civilian life?
Yeah, I guess I did. I almost went there, but I was going to wait for you to say anything. But yeah, once I knew I wanted to get out of the Navy, I wasn't out yet. I knew I wanted to get out. I wasn't sure exactly what to do, but I've always loved computers. And even joining the Navy, I told the recruiter I wanted to work on computers. And she said, no problem. You can work on the latest cutting edge technology. And they put me on a ship with sonar equipment designed in the 70s, you know, a good 10 years before I was born. So I didn't necessarily get to work on what I thought I was going to work on, but I did start my own company called Formidable PC, which I changed the name later to Formidable Web Solutions. But I was fixing computers on the nights and weekends when I wasn't on shore duty, you know, when I wasn't working.
Yes.
And it was good. But yeah, I'd never started a business before, but you just got to do it. You just got to learn what you can. You've got the internet in front of you. You can read it, read all the steps on how to do things, like forming the LLC and getting business insurance and getting the business license and the tax ID number. And so I started fixing computers on nights and weekends, and I was charging way too little. So I was overwhelmed. People are just throwing computers at me. Yes. So I swimming in a sea of computers. And once I got out, I started raising my prices and working on business offices, you know, going in and working on multiple computers and doing managed services. And a lot of people wanted websites. I'd never done websites before, just my own, but I had rebuilt my own website like 3 times and on different platforms because I'm learning as I go.
Yes.
And multiple business owners kept insisting that I build them a website. And so I told them I don't have much experience, but I'll give it a shot. So I did. And, you know, first couple websites didn't charge very much, but I really liked it. Once I got into that, I really liked working on websites. I liked building them. I liked the little bit of creativity you get to have when you're doing it. And so it just kind of took off from there. And in 2019, I stopped doing IT stuff and just doing websites. And so I fired all my IT clients and just took on websites. And so now I'm hosting about 100 websites, and I'm just trying to build as many as I can and get them on my hosting and keep trucking along. And I like it. I get to work from home. I get to spend more time with the wife and kid, and it's pretty nice.
Awesome. I think, and I apologize. We should have started there.
I met my wife in Virginia when I was stationed on the Hawes. Mm-hmm. Right before I moved, or I think right as I got to shore duty is when I met her. So I was with her for about 3 years, and I knew re-enlisting meant going back to a ship for another 5 years, and I didn't want to do that. So, and then we just adopted our son out of foster care in Virginia Beach.
Oh, awesome.
So yeah, that was just finalized in November. Mm-hmm. And so, now he's about 2 years old, and we've had him since almost when he was born. We met him about a week after he was born.
Oh.
So yeah, it's good stuff. So the kid thing happened much after I got out of the Navy, because it just happened last year. But mm-hmm. I knew that was in our future, and I didn't want to be gone all the time. So started a business I could kind of work from home and be more flexible.
Awesome. But mm-hmm. I know that's an arduous process, the adoption process. And it sounds like it took you about 2 years.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's a lot of stuff you got to go through. And, you know, I don't want to bore the audience with all that. But and again, it's. Some people are scared to even try or even find out about how to do it because they've never done it before.
Yes.
And so I guess if I had a theme, that would be it, is don't be scared just because you've never done it before. You know, find out what it takes and start the steps. You know, the first step's always the hardest.
What I was going to say is it sounds like I repeatedly hear from you. You didn't always know what to do or how to do it, but you just said, here's what I want to do. How to start.
Yeah. Yeah. I had no clue getting out of high school. I graduated in 2000, had no idea what I wanted to do. And I didn't join for another 4 years. I tried a bunch of stuff. I was a substitute teacher for a semester. I was a 911 dispatcher with our city in Alamogordo, New Mexico there for, I think only like 3 or 4 weeks. That was rough.
Yes.
They really throw you to the wolves there, man, that your first day on the job, you're answering 911 calls. And I worked on a street crew for a little bit, filling potholes. I worked at a Blockbuster Video. I worked at a Home Depot. And I remember when I got to my ship, you know, my shipmates are asking me questions about what'd you do before you got in? And, you know, I start telling them all this stuff, and the one just looks at me and goes, you're full of shit. Like, no, I really did all these things. Yeah. Just, you know, just meeting me and me just blurting out all these things I had done just sounded kind of incredulous, I guess.
Yes.
And I don't blame him. And years later, you know, I reminded him that he told me that, and he's like, yeah, well, now I know you. Now I know you're not full of shit, but
yeah,
it seemed like it. But yeah, I never knew exactly what I wanted to do. And I was kind of a little aimless. And my mom was always pushing for the military. And actually, I met this girl who's getting ready for the military. She'd already signed up. And she kind of persuaded me to join. Mm-hmm. And so we were like working out together, getting in better shape for the military.
Yes.
And funny enough, then she didn't join and I did. And so I was off at that point.
And that's something else you hit on was, I was surprised to hear that your mother, I mean, of course, the military is a great, it's a solid choice for many, but a lot of times mothers aren't.
Yeah, my mom, she's weird like that. She wanted it for all three of her boys. She had 3 boys and a girl. And as far as I know, she pressured all 3 of us boys to join.
I wasn't saying your mother. It's surprising to hear. Because there's many mothers who think, my son's going off to war.
Mm-hmm.
So it's surprising to hear someone. Well, I don't know. Was there anything there you'd comment on, or?
Not really. I think she saw my dad's job in the Air Force. Yeah, you know, we in the Navy we called it the Chair Force. Mm-hmm. So he never really saw. He went to Turkey a few times, and he went to South Korea a couple times. But he was never really in like any serious threat as far as I know. And I don't know if that maybe influenced my mom's thoughts on things, but she saw it as a good, you know, good reliable income, and it was.
Okay.
And a good career path.
Yeah. So you're coming from a military family of knowing, you know, what it takes and knowing the benefits.
Hmm. Yep. Okay.
Makes sense. So then you started the company before you actually got out. Very smart move.
Yeah, I knew I didn't want to just jump out and not have something started. I wanted to hit the ground running.
But there still had to be some hiccups, or how did that whole transition go? What?
It's tough. It was still a drop in income for sure. You know, I was charging people like $25 to remove viruses or to replace hard drives and computers and stuff. So I wasn't charging enough.
Mm-hmm.
I was very busy. But that, as a business owner, you know, that's not always good. Got to be productive and get your prices right. So that was a big learning point. And working in the military, you don't deal with pricing as much, you know, yep. as you would in a commercial sales or retail. So yep. Setting your own prices is different. Being self-motivated is different. I'm not the best at that. I was a terrible boss, especially at first.
Mm-hmm.
Cause there's nobody kicking your ass and getting you out of bed every morning and, you know, nobody making you work out all the time. And so I've definitely put on some weight. I've been trying to lose that recently. But yeah, being a self-starter in the military, you don't have to be, because somebody will be there to put a boot up your hind end.
Yes.
So it's hard. You have to push yourself and you have to do the work. And when you start a business like mine, there's no time clock. There's no deadlines, really. It's just whatever you promise the customer. Or if you don't have any computers sitting on your bench, or you don't have any customers at your door, there's nobody telling you what to do.
Yes.
And so that's where you learn about networking, and you either sink or swim at that point, I guess.
So how did you swim?
Actually my realtor, who I bought my house from when I was in the military, mm-hmm. Started a networking group. She's a realtor, obviously. And so that realtors are really good at networking, yes. if they're successful. And she had started her own networking group, and she invited me to join that. And luckily I had a petty officer in charge of me who actually let me go on Thursday mornings. So mm-hmm. I was on that shore duty. They actually let me skip PT and go to these meetings on Thursday mornings to help my business, which was pretty incredible. So that's another reason I had a foot in the door kind of as I got out of the military, is I was already networking and learning how to kind of build confidence and build these relationships with your customers so that they trust you.
Very smart.
So I kind of stumbled into that. I didn't know anything about networking groups. So that just kind of happened. I said I was starting a business, and my realtor just jumped right on it. And you need to go to this meeting. And it just worked out.
Awesome. So you were an E4, an E5 getting out?
Yeah, I was actually an E6 select. E6. I actually made the list.
Yes. Awesome.
And so I had a bunch of people telling me, haha, now you have to re-enlist. I'm like, nope. Because I was already CEO of my own company at that point, you know.
Yeah.
Although as a business owner, you kind of learn when you first start it, you think, oh, you're CEO, but it turns out that's not really the case. I'm the owner. I don't have a board. So,
yep.
But yeah, I was thinking I'm already the boss. So when I made E6, even though I didn't get frocked before I got out, it was a lot easier because I already had the business started. If I didn't have that started already, I probably would have re-enlisted.
Yeah, definitely. I guess where I was going is, say there's a staff sergeant, or I'm sorry, a sergeant or an E5 somewhere, someone mm-hmm. listening to the show, they're thinking about the same thing. Do I get out? Do I start a business?
Right.
For an advance, did you start the business? How confident were you about the business? Or what was your, was there a metric you said that, like, I have to be doing X before I can be comfortable getting out, or
that would have been a smart idea.
Yeah, of course.
No, I
mean, we're both what 10 or 5, 10 years out, maybe. So
that would have been a great plan if I had a certain number, but no, I knew I wanted out.
Yeah.
I used the post 9/11 GI Bill to go to school, and they also pay you a stipend.
Yes.
So I knew I had some income from that. Okay. Of course, I didn't realize it would take a few months to get that. So money got pretty tight, but I had some savings.
Yes.
So anybody watching this, thinking about starting your own business or getting out of the military, I'd say save every penny you can. Savings is important. And then, the 9/11 helps. The 9/11 GI Bill, you're supposed to use that all for school though. So don't spend it on anything but school. You should make a goal. You should make a plan like that. I started about a year before I got out.
Okay.
And so I had quite a bit of experience by the time I actually had to get out of the Navy. When that date came, I had been doing it for, I think, a little over a year. And like I said, nights and weekends, I was just busy, busy, busy. I was in my garage. I had put some shelving in and I was just working on a bunch of computers, had a bunch of spare parts lying around. So I knew the customers were there, and I had some customers asking me to take over their business IT. You know, they had like 10 computers in their office and they needed managed antivirus and someone dependable to call during business hours. And I had already turned some of them down because being on shore duty, I couldn't just leave whenever.
Yes.
And where I was working, you don't even get to take a cell phone into the building, because I was working around classified information. So I couldn't be that reliable person. I couldn't even take the phone call, yes, let alone leave and go fix something. So,
yep.
But I knew the business was there. And so I guess that gave me the confidence, along with the support of my wife, who is always super supportive of whatever I wanted to do. And then, like I said, the GI Bill, the wife, and having some of the business already coming. I had customers waiting for me to just take over their IT. So, I would say if you can do that, like I did, that's awesome. It's not always feasible. So then you're going to have to live on savings and it can take a few months to build up your income.
Okay. And that was 2013, 2014.
Yeah.
Ish. So we're,
yeah, I think I got out at the end of 2013, I believe. Yeah.
About 8 years out now, right?
Yeah.
And so where are you now? What's Formidable Web look like?
I'm doing all right. I've got about 100 websites that I'm managing.
Oh, wow.
And I'm building two or three at a time right now, including yours. I know I jumped the gun on that one. I build two or three websites a month for people, and then hopefully continue hosting them and doing like regular maintenance on them, because websites aren't just a static thing. They need maintenance as they go. So I'm just trying to build that up. My goal right now is to get to 500 websites on my hosting. I'm one fifth of the way there, and it's taken a few years to get there. So okay. I'm just trucking along, just building three or four at a time.
Okay. So, I mean, I do my car's maintenance. I change the oil, change mm-hmm. tires. How does a website need hosting? I mean,
it's kind of like your computer. There's software updates and security updates, especially if you use a software, like I use WordPress a lot. Okay. And there's updates. When they find a security hole, they'll patch it. And every once in a while, that'll break a website. Or there'll be a plugin that doesn't get updated that breaks it. So there's stuff. So it's good to have someone managing that stuff. And what I tell my customers is if an update breaks something, I will fix it for free, which is pretty cool. So you don't have to worry about it. Because, a lot of people don't know that a website can even have problems. But it can get hacked. It can have security problems. Yeah, there's a whole gamut of things that can happen.
You've been out about 8 years. Are you, mm-hmm. is it just you?
It's just me. My wife helps sometimes. Yes. She's an interior designer by training.
Okay.
And so her design abilities really help. So I've built a few websites where the customer is not 100% thrilled with it. And I'll call my wife in like, hey, we need to make this prettier. And she does her thing and she loves it. So, but having the kids really taken her off of that as much. She used to help me quite a lot.
Okay.
But, I've gotten better at the creative stuff and she's got the kiddo a little more, so she doesn't do it as much, but she's still there if I need her, which is nice.
Yeah, definitely. So you did steal my thunder. I guess you didn't realize this is my show.
No, I didn't.
Jeez. So why would I pick you to host my website over? There's GoDaddy. There's 100,000 companies that are bigger than you. They have all the resources. Mm. They have all the... they can have a company or website built by midnight.
Mm-hmm.
Why'd I pick you?
Well, you pick me because that I'll answer the phone.
Okay.
You can text me. You can message me. I'm there for you. I speak English as a first language. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but some people have a hard time understanding people over the phone.
Yeah, but I mean, you're on my show because I knew you beforehand, obviously.
That too.
Why does the E5 getting out of the Navy in a year, or why does someone who's starting a business?
Why would they go out for me, huh?
Yeah, what's your unique proposition?
Well, like I said, I do more of the maintenance than other companies. So yeah, you can get cheaper hosting like at GoDaddy.
Yeah.
But if WordPress updates and breaks something, they don't care. They don't even know your website's down. So your website could be down if you don't check it for a week and you don't even know. I monitor websites. If they go down, I usually get an email right away. If not, I'm checking them like once a week. I kind of cycle through all the websites, make sure they're still there and looking good and there's no issues.
Yes.
So I kind of give that personal touch and, you know, I actually care about my clients. I know them. I have relationships with them. So it's not the same as a big company who doesn't even know who you are. So like I said, if something breaks or something gets hacked, I know about it and I'm usually fixing it before you even realize there's a problem. That's happened once or twice. No website I've built has ever been hacked, but I've transported a few onto my server that had security issues and they've been hacked. So I've fixed those a couple times before the customer even knew there was an issue. So I just sent them an email. Hey, you know, your site had a problem. I fixed it. Don't worry about it. That's why you pay me.
Yes. Yes, that is.
That's pretty cool.
And that's the best email to get. You had a problem. You no longer have the problem.
Yep.
And that's why I'm here.
Yeah. And that's why I got into it. Cause I realized having my own websites that had some issues, mine didn't get hacked, but just there were, updates that broke things and you call, these big companies and they really don't care. And they have the same solution for everything. It's, you know, restore from a backup or we just start deleting stuff until it works better. Yep. So, yeah.
Okay. Awesome. And so you said it's website hosting. There is some website creation.
Yep. Yep. I create a lot of websites.
Anything else? Anything else you're,
That's really it. If people want help with managing passwords, I can show you. I use a password manager and I can show you how to do that. It's life changing. It sounds boring and it kind of is. But once you get into password management and two-factor authentication, I have an app on my phone that generates random numbers so that when I try to get into Facebook, it'll ask me for a number and I have to open this app and get that number. Things like that are incredibly useful for security. So you don't have to worry about your accounts getting hacked, you know, your bank account, your Facebook, your Instagram, whatever, all the important things, even getting into your website, you can set that up to where you have to have that two-factor and then also saving passwords. So you don't have to use the same one for everything.
Wow. Yeah.
So that's incredibly valuable. So I do help people with that, even though it's not really a website thing, but it's just, like I said, I've basically had like a boot camp where I've run some people through this, like over a few days, we sit down with this password manager and their list of passwords. And we just go through and put them all in there, change them, make them more secure, make them unique for every site. And once you go through that kind of hassle for a few days, then passwords are never an issue again. It's awesome.
Yeah. So,
yeah. If anybody wants to contact me about that, I'm happy to walk you through what I do. I actually just need to make some videos on how to do it. And that way I can just send you the YouTube videos on here's what you do, you know, sign up for it here and start using it.
And you mentioned YouTube. Do you have a YouTube channel or are you on?
Yeah, my company has one. You know, my company has a YouTube channel, but I haven't really uploaded a whole lot lately. Okay. I've done a few private videos like tutorials for here's how to get into your website and change X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have aspirations. So I want to do more of that. I just need to get off my butt and do it.
Well, where else can people find you, Kevin?
Best way is my website, which is formidableweb.solutions.
Okay.
Or formidablewebsolutions.com if you don't like the strange names. But yeah, that's it.
Well, tell me about the what's that dot solutions.
Well, there's these new extensions. So instead of .com or .gov or .org,
yes,
there's like over 200 or maybe 300 now of all these different extensions you can get. So instead of those, you can have other things on the end of your website. And so my favorite one is .ninja. So you can get, you know, whatever you want, like, you know, veterans in the wild .ninja if you wanted. It's, you know, it's kind of cool, but there's a dot solutions. And so since my name was Formidable Web Solutions, I went ahead and got Formidable Web dot solutions and it confuses people. So I did get the .com also.
So I could be like podcast.ninja.
You could, if it's not taken.
veteran.podcast.ninja.
Yeah.
Or veteran.ninja.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of options. And that's just my favorite one. But there's like I said, there's like 200 and some.
Wait. Ninja. Dot ninja.
Ninja dot ninja.
Wait. Yeah. No. Chuck Norris dot ninja.
Yeah, I like it. Yep, there's a lot of options. It's fun stuff.
And so I guess that's an expansion question too, is do you see that becoming, are we running out of .coms? Are we moving towards?
I think that's why they started doing it, is .coms are harder and harder to find.
Okay. What's 5 years from now look like?
I don't know. .com is still king, you know? Yeah. So I tell people get that when you can.
Yes.
Like you've got yours.
Yes.
Veteransinthewild.com, which is awesome. But there are these other ones. If it works with your marketing, like mine, you know, the word was already in my name.
Yes.
And so finding dot solutions was just luck. It was great. Okay. But yeah, I would check it out. If you're looking at naming a business, go to somewhere like namecheap.com. They don't pay me or anything. But if you go there, they have a tool where you can type in whatever you want and it gives you all these ideas. So if .com is not available, they'll show you all the ones that they think might be, you know, dot real estate or whatever you want to do.
Okay. So you're saying people can get a lot more relevant to their industry.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I think that's really helpful to our listeners that, yeah, you can really kind of drill down to where you want to go.
Yeah. And some are more expensive, some are cheap, but they'll tell you on there. Like I like that Namecheap website just because it is cheap and it's easy and you can host your website anywhere else too. So you don't have to have your website and your domain name at the same place, but that's all technical stuff. You can talk to me about if you need to. Okay. Yeah.
And so one more time, Kevin, have you seen The Wizard of Oz?
Yeah.
I think if you mention Namecheap one more time, they might start sponsoring you. So one more time.
I don't know.
One more time.
I just like them, namecheap.com. But
wait, there it is.
Yep, there it is. Ching.
We'll contact them on your behalf after the show, okay?
Awesome. Sounds good.
Okay, so what part of the country are you in?
Right now, I just moved to Indiana.
I've got
family nearby. Yeah. I was in Virginia Beach, but you know, there's neighbors too close and lots of people, you know, around you. So my wife's always liked the country and being out in open spaces. So
yeah,
we moved to a little place in Indiana that's wide open spaces. And, you know, we have neighbors next door, but you know, there's a lot of space and we're planning on buying a house eventually. We'll do a fixer upper probably, get some land and start a farm or who knows.
Awesome. So you're looking for clients in Indiana?
No, anywhere. Since I do website stuff, I do Zoom meetings with clients. So I've got clients that I've never met in person, but I've talked to people in Australia that I've got websites for, and England, and all over the United States. So anywhere that has internet access, we can set you up a website and talk to you over Zoom.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. I guess you said your biggest challenge was the transition of, like you said, in the Navy, there was always a boot in your butt. So how did you put it on yourself? How do you take that from,
well,
how did you take the boot out of your ass and put it on your own shoulder?
It took a while. There were definitely a few months when I first got out where I woke up late. I didn't do anything productive till after lunch. Sometimes I didn't do anything productive all day when I should have. So like I said, I was a pretty terrible boss at first, a terrible employee. But I guess just realization kind of hits you eventually. Whether it's, not enough money in the bank or just that feeling of you should be doing something productive. But mine was a combination of both. Just, I should be productive. And why is there no money in the bank? So you kind of realize that you got to do it. Nobody's there to tell you and nobody's going to say, hey, you're slacking off, go do it. And my wife's too nice to do it. So maybe if you have a significant other that'll do it for you, that's awesome. But mine's too sweet and wouldn't do it for me. So I had to just figure it out.
And has that become a motivator now, or what's fueled you since? What's driving formidable web ahead?
You build habits, you know. So I've built habits of, you know, even though I work from home, and if I don't have a Zoom meeting, nobody literally sees me. So I could wear pajamas all day, but you get in habits, like you get dressed for work and start by a certain time and, you know, end by a certain time so that you can spend time with the family.
Yes.
So I've just learned that building habits is very powerful. And if you can just be a little better than the person you were yesterday, that's awesome.
Okay.
And the change you can build from that. I don't know if you know Jordan Peterson, but he's actually, he talks about a lot about that too.
Yep.
But yeah, he says what the change you get from that is exponential. So you just try to be a little better every day. So even if you failed the day before, you know, just do it better than that and just keep building. Yeah. So, you build habits and you realize that it's on you and you have to take that on board and go with it. I wish I had something more inspiring, but that's about it. Like, I just had to. Either go punch a clock for somebody else.
Yeah. And I think that's part of the reality too, is that there's no magic to it. There's no celebration. It's waking up early. It's working hard. It's going to bed. It's being tired.
Yeah. There's no like sexy answer that's like, oh, just do this and you'll be successful. Is you have to put in the time and you have to enjoy what you're doing enough or think that it's valuable enough to keep doing it.
Yes.
And I've always believed that the things I'm doing, I set my clients up for success, whether it was doing the IT work or the websites. Is I'm taking care of business so that they can focus on their stuff and not worry about their website or their viruses or, you know, whatever's going on with their computers. So you just have to you have to believe in what you're doing and know that if you don't do it, nobody else is going to, or they're going to find another company to do it. So you just got to keep on it.
One last thing, ladies and gentlemen, as you heard Kevin said, he has, by the time you're hearing this, he's probably already built the website, veteransinthewild.com. Yep. I trusted him because we've worked on projects in the past. I will always try to work with veterans if they can do something for my business. So yeah, everything you see on the website that he's created it, I would certainly endorse him. If you're looking to have any website work done or hosting, as he said, you can find him at formidableweb.solutions, websolutions.com. Is that it?
I have that one too.
formidablewebsolutions.com. Yep. Great, easy solutions, straightforward solutions. And it's really great that, like, as you said, it's two people working the company. So, you know, when you call, you know who you're talking to. And that's the greatest thing. It's very simple. Kevin, I want this changed, or, hey, how can I handle this? Cause
yeah, exactly. If you want to learn how to do it yourself, I love to teach. So I'm happy to teach you how to like update your own website or to add things, subtract things, whatever you want to do.
Yeah. That was something I really enjoyed was I'm going to start a blog. So Kevin, how do I integrate that? And he's taught me, because I didn't want to just, you know, Kevin, I got to upload another podcast. I got to rely on Kevin. I can't do that because, you know, Kevin's going to be, once his company gets to 600 million next week, he's going to be traveling the world. And I'm going to be like, Kevin, I'm just here building my company. I need to get this podcast uploaded.
Exactly. Well, thank you. Yeah. And part of the joy of having your own business is you get to pick who you work with. And yeah. I love you and what you do. I love that you put veterans first, and I know you always put on your Facebook that every day is Memorial Day. I love it. And I think patriotism is something we've kind of lost lately, and I think it's great that you're pushing that. I think we need that as a country. So I really appreciate what you're doing, and I think that's awesome. So thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it was a great conversation, and once again, ladies and gentlemen. Kevin Pinkney. Ladies and gentlemen, as I said in the first show, we end every show the same way. Every day ends with taps in the military, and we end our shows with taps. Thank you. We will see you next time.